The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the Department of English, it's Professor Heather Hill.
Hey ho.
Hey.
I don't know where that
Welcome
came from.
Welcome back.
Hey ho.
Hey ho.
Woo!
Did we read something recently where Alexander Graham yes. Bell, instead of wanting the when you answer the phone for it to be hello, he wanted it to be ahoy.
That's right.
Or was it hoy hoy, was it?
He was holding out for ahoy.
He was. I think it was ahoy there.
Well, but nobody had ever answered the phone before, so there was no protocol here.
He answered it with ahoy his whole entire life.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a man
of
principle.
There you go. I guess I was...
embracing your inner bell.
I was embracing my inner bell.
I think that's cool.
How are you?
I'm just great. End of week one. We are back into another fall semester. Dogs and cats living together.
Necessary. None of our students get that reference anymore.
Not at
all.
But
it's amazing
wonderful.
To me.
I don't get it.
Going around the table, we are being joined by, I think I can say this out loud now, the birthday boy, Professor Stephen Manning.
Yes. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday
Happy
to
birthday,
you.
Happy birthday, Stephen.
Commence with the spanking.
Thank you.
Where's we'll the leave paddle? That to Heather.
I think I'm going to step out right now.
Oh, my. And
Jim and I were telling Leslie upstairs a while ago how hard it is to turn 49.
Again.
Yeah, so many times. Yeah, exactly.
What a no.
1849.
Well, it's the short-term memory we lose, not the longer-term stuff.
The person who's not 30 yet just said, I know. Oh, my word. Okay. Well, we are off to a rip-roaring start.
Oh, joy.
Professor Dave Chow, mayor of the neighborhood, is also here.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Excellent. What were the goings-on during the great storming of Berkeley?
I don't know. I was having a burger. I didn't care.
Were
you at Buns and Patties?
Yes.
For the first time?
First time.
You didn't take shelter in the basement with your burger?
No.
We took it at Buns and Patties.
You took shelter in the old Taco Bell.
That cloud over the 7-Eleven was ominous.
I actually did take shelter in the hallway in the back of my house with the burger while the sirens were going off yesterday.
Oh, my gosh. You all are killing me right now. Oh, this guy's doing Buns and Patties. Yeah. There's literally a funnel cloud like
Whatever.
Right over the 7-Eleven. If anybody hasn't seen that picture yet, it's pretty brutal. Professor Beth Oljar is here from the Department of Philosophy. We're glad to have her back.
Thank you. I am here. I was kind of freaked out by the tornado warnings
Yeah.
And I told Drew, I'm like, should we go in the basement? They all say we should go in the basement. He says, no. You'll know when we need to go in the basement. I'm like, but Mia's sitting right in front of the window on her cat tree. What do we do? Let her get blown to smithereens.
Oh.
Fortunately, it was only like 45 minutes
yes.
in the morning.
Yes.
Yes. Place, so
I had just arrived at my son's school in enough time for him not to be able to come out and me to have to sit in the parking lot for the duration of the storm.
Oh,
but I was on the phone with my wife, so it worked out pretty well.
Yes.
She talked you down.
She did. I said something like, well, all right, I guess we've exhausted all the things to talk about. And, of course, she'll tell you in a minute, I'm sure, stuck in a garage at Cranbrook.
With many, many garden implements. It's like that scene in Twister, you know,
exactly
when they go
what
in.
What you want to see flying around.
And they're
yes.
like pitchforks.
You couldn't pick up your son because they put him in the basement?
Because they were in the basement.
Yes.
But they left the parents in the parking lot in their car.
Yes.
They were in secure
yes.
mode, so they could not open the building nor let, you know, they couldn't let anyone in or anyone out.
Sacrifice the income, I guess.
And true to his ADHD, that's just what I chalk it up to. Emmett will discover a new just standard turn of phrase and just abuse it for two straight weeks and then it will disappear forever. So this week it's elephant in the room. And he texts me all capitals like, address the elephant in the room, Dad. There's a tornado right over you right now. And I'm like, just come out. He goes,
that elephant's not in the room anymore.
The elephant is the room.
Yes.
Professor Jim Tubbs is here with
hello,
us.
Hello, hello.
What's going on, Jim?
Well, not a whole lot at the moment.
Okay.
I'm enjoying seeing all your shining faces once again.
Yeah, and we're,
this is good.
Know,
it's been a quick
face.
Summer, but a nice one. So.
Yeah.
It's the moisturizer.
Well, it's nice actually to get rain. Is it okay? Can I say that?
It really like, is 49. I mean,
well, it's a little much rain.
Yes. Yes, that is for sure.
All at once.
Build the arc.
Speaking of the funnel clouds over Berkeley, Mr. Dan Maggio is here with us from the First Organization. Where were you, Dan, when it all
I was at
down?
Home.
You were at home.
Wondering why the sirens were going off.
I was watching the sky turn black.
Did World War III get considered?
Well, if you call him the mayor, usually you can call me like the Gladys Kravitz of Berkeley.
Gladys Kravitz.
So how I miss a funnel cloud above my house is...
I mean, it was close to where you
also
live.
Another reference, close. Danielle does not understand.
I do not understand this at all.
She's the nosy neighbor. I'm bewitched.
Okay, good to know.
Wow.
That was a show about a witch.
Exactly. Also a Berkeley denizen, Professor Danielle Maxwell, Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry.
Yes, it's good to be back.
And you were, if I remember correctly, in a Zoom meeting on your laptop in the hallway of the chem building.
Yeah, I texted from my office because we haven't had a tornado since I've been here. So I was like, what do I do? And Megan was like, well, you got to go into the hallway. So I'm like, well, I'm on Zoom. So I was talking about my NSF grant with a grant writing office the whole time. And they're asking me these really deep, hard questions. And there's just like students screaming next to me. And then what was really impressive was Stephanie Conant just kept teaching the whole time. And so she's had her students lined up on the pew. And she was just walking up and down them and lecturing about sea phages. And I'm just like...
That sounds like Stephanie.
Relentless. I was like, this is impressive. Like, keep going. Good. No materials, just talking.
Unbelievable. Last but not least, we have a special guest, Professor Leslie Mayo from the Cranbrook... I'll never remember the name of it.
Cranbrook Center for Collections and Research.
Center for Collections and Research.
What are you collecting this week?
And what are you researching?
I'm researching furniture that was in the dormitories at Cranbrook Academy of Art in the 1950s.
Oh,
so cool. Dave,
huh?
If you know any former artists.
I do.
That
several.
Lived there.
Yes.
If they have any pictures of their dorm rooms, I'd really appreciate it.
Yes.
No, they probably even into the 80s and 90s probably still had this furniture.
I will give you a name and number before then.
It's like Briggs, you know.
I was about to say, it's just like Scheipel.
Have you seen my desk? I mean, my gosh.
Scheipel got renovated. Scheipel looks nice.
Scheipel does look nice. No, it is true. And folks, guess what? This is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a brand new edition of the ATP coffee mug and autographed photograph of the profs. If you don't stump the panel, we'll still send you the autographed photograph. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. I almost called it the old way. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. When last we left our heroes,
eons ago,
we were answering some Frank Burrows family questions, and it was a huge, huge pile of questions. We'd only made it about halfway through. We're
going
to have to finish these off. It's like summer never happened.
That was a long list of questions.
You know?
Yes.
Absolutely. So let's pick up where we left off, 2701. According to the Pew Research Center,
those guys,
what percentage of people 40 to 50 years old remain unmarried?
50%
in the United States or across the world?
You know, I think Pew usually is like U.S.
Okay.
Is usually where they're going.
Just checking.
And I heard somebody say a number that's dang close to the final 12, number.
12%.
Everybody gets a guess, so Leslie, we need you to tender a guess.
53%.
I think Jim said 27. Yeah. It's 25. Oh. Yes, 25%. 40 to 50 years old.
That's never been married or aren't married
or
now.
Divorced.
Or will remain unmarried is the way the question was phrased. That's
remain
interesting. Yeah.
So if haven't been married, they will remain.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
In that state.
Whatever.
Professors, in what year did Spain first allow women to vote?
Before us?
1908.
No, I think there's got to be something a little bit more modern that will throw
1856.
Us. 1856. 1984.
1910.
1939.
You're all just guessing.
This one, this one is going to Heather. Is 1931 is when Spain first allowed women to vote.
I was going to say the fascists wouldn't have wanted it, so they had to already have it, and then
just
the Franco shouldn't get it.
Yes,
Franco
exactly.
Get rid of it.
It's reminding me of I believe it was either yesterday or today's Onion headline that for Gloria Steinem's passing, the researcher who discovered women. She's being honored. It, again, is tongue-in-cheek, folks, but it made me laugh
the
out loud.
The researcher
who discovered women.
I like it.
She has an essay called If Men Could Menstruate.
Yeah.
It's a classic. That is truly the most hilarious thing you've
ever read. She was funny. She was really funny.
I am finding this right now.
Awesome.
Oh, it's funny. It's a classic.
Laugh out loud funny. Yeah.
On the TV show Charlie's Angels, who was the youngest?
Well, the youngest.
Cheryl Lett.
Yeah. Oh, you know, this is like water off a duck's back to Beth. She knew that right off the top of her head. Ooh, an art question.
Uh-oh.
What was Audrey Munson's greatest tribute to the world of art?
Audrey Munson.
She was a model for...
That's right.
Model?
She was a model.
For, was it, a lot of the New York WPA projects.
Yes, it was. She was the nude model
to
many of New York City's iconic statues, such as Three Graces and the Panama Pacific International Exhibition.
Wow. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Nude models are worth their weight in gold.
Your art history class paid off.
But not the weight of their clothes.
Apparently not the weight of their clothes. That is true. Swedish King Adolf Frederick died in 1771. I mean, of course.
Of course, last year.
Under some slightly odd circumstances, though. According to the history that Swedish children learn about in grade school, how did Swedish King Adolf Frederick die in 1771?
Having sex. That's my guess.
Drowned in his bathtub.
I mean, fell off his horse.
Beth plays the game really well, but that's not right. I just appreciate, you know, where your head is going.
Like Elvis on the toilet?
So it was something. No, he was not on the toilet. He
off the toilet.
He did something that was not like risky in necessarily any sort of way.
He ate food and choked to death.
I'm giving it to you. It doesn't say choked, but he died from eating too many cinnamon buns, is what the official record says.
That's one way to go.
You know, that's not too bad.
Well, Catherine the Great's husband died of terminal hemorrhoids. That was the official story.
Yikes.
Something
she had him killed in his jail cell, but that's what they said.
Something to keep in mind.
You might not want to eat the Swedish buns at IKEA next time.
No, not anymore. Not after hearing about that.
Death by lingonberry.
I mean, I'll eat 13, but not 14.
Yeah, 14. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
What strange phenomena happens when you look up the word, I've done this before, it's cute.
Of course you
askew
have.
At Google.
Oh, the things go askew.
Yes, the screen will go cockeyed by a couple degrees.
It goes askew.
It's just kind of screwing with
it's
you.
It's fun.
I like that.
Is that the only word where they do a visual?
There are some cute little
it's a good
quirks.
Question. Because we can track
words.
Them all, Dan, so you know?
But has it gotten rid of the word Ontario? What happens when you type in Ontario?
Oh,
I don't know.
Don't even go there.
Don't say that.
Obama. See, the page goes
well, then the acronym for the Great Lakes, instead of being homes, will be
shame.
Shame. As Rachel Maddow pointed out.
What are the two countries, and there's only two, where kangaroos are indigenous?
Australia.
And
New Zealand?
Not New Zealand.
Tanzania.
Papua New Guinea.
Tasmania.
Madagascar.
Mm-mm. Is it near Australia?
Indonesia.
Berkeley. Oh.
Canada.
I didn't say peacocks. Kangaroos.
IKEA.
It says
it was partial like India.
Thank you.
Cinnamon bun?
No.
It says Australia and New Guinea are the only places where kangaroos are indigenous.
I haven't been there this week.
I thought someone said New Zealand.
I said New Zealand.
We did. Well, yeah. Mm.
1949.
You're looking at the map like that's a global map. It's still the same U.S. map, right?
One day it's going to be a global map for
me. You're looking at the map like it's going to give you the answer.
It's going to give me answers one day.
We are going to hang a globe in the middle of the studio.
There's Canada on there.
In 1949, Edward H. Seymour invented this relatively common art tool. He patented it in 1951. And its results are seen daily in most urban areas. What is the tool?
A T-square?
Box cutter.
Mm-mm.
Spray can?
Yeah, he invented aerosol spray cans.
Oh. You said urban, and I'm like thinking, okay, what?
How does he spell his last name the correct
way? Same as yours.
Oh, he's a relative.
He's a relative.
Urban, yeah, it works.
You get all the royalties.
All those spray cans, I was just going to say that. All those spray can royalties. Yes.
And you didn't know?
This is where the Halloween decorations come from.
Big
now
spray
it makes
can.
Sense.
What, atomizers?
This is the best hint I can give you, looking at a decidedly Dave Chow direction I ask, what are Coles notes? Coles. What are Coles notes?
Is this an art thing?
Something I copied in art history when I didn't know the answer? I
mean, notes that belong to Cole.
You're pretty close, Dave.
I am?
Almost.
Cole's notes.
And they're known in the States as something different.
Cliff notes?
Cliff's notes, yes.
Oh.
Cole's notes.
Are they Cliff notes for art or
in
something?
In what country? Are,
oh,
no,
wait,
Canadians?
Canadian. No. That's a Mara Livesey question, not Dave Chow question.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
She's the one that was educated in Canada, so.
Who's the first car manufacturer to have powered pop-up headlights? It's kind of a cool piece of trivia.
Tucker.
Tucker? Yeah.
It says 1942. It wasn't Ford. Tucker.
Mm-mm. Packard.
Ford. No, not Ford.
No.
Rolls Royce?
General Motors? No.
American Motors.
Was Chrysler around?
It's a very Spanish-sounding name. Forgive me, I can't remember if it's the manufacturer or the model, because I think that they're referring to the model. I see these at the Dream Cruise
Cordova.
Every year.
Hispano Suiza?
Fiero.
Tornado.
Starts with the letter D.
Corinthian leather. No. D.
Ducati? No, that's Italian motorcycles.
Duesenberg.
we don't know the answer.
They said here it's the DeSoto. It was a DeSoto in 1942. Okay. So.
Where's my dad?
1942. The Cord had them in 1934.
Oh, well. Okay.
Okay.
We're going to have to do some Google searching.
Challenge.
Where's the crank team?
Challenge.
What famous singer was once a member of all these groups? The Conrads, with a K. The King Bees. The Mannish Boys. The Lower Third. The Arnold Korns. And Tin Machine.
David Bowie.
That's the giveaway. It's David Bowie.
Oh. Yeah. The Commodores?
The Conrads was how I knew that, because something came up on my Google feed recently about...
Conrads.
And about him, yeah.
In what Michigan city was supermodel Christie Brinkley born?
Wyandotte? Monroe?
Very
somewhere?
Close, Monroe.
Okay, yeah, I knew it was downriver.
Wyandotte. Knew the general
area. Well, that
does
not make her an uptown girl, so
no,
what's
it does
up?
Not.
She's a downriver girl.
Absolutely not.
We got to tell Billy he needs to rewrite that song.
Well, if she was uptown from Toledo.
Yeah. Let's step up.
Well, and he's from New York, so, you know.
What musical won the Best Picture Oscar in 2002?
Chicago.
Yes, absolutely.
Hey, Dan.
Very well done. Very well done.
There weren't that many musicals that actually won Best Picture.
True.
Right?
There aren't anymore. Yeah.
What?
Musical. Well, for one thing, there aren't a whole lot of musicals, it seems like, anymore, at least of the old sort.
That's true.
The Great Gatsby's coming by this fall. I'm really excited about that.
In a musical form?
In a musical form.
I'm curious. I am curious.
But there are no likable characters in the whole
That's
story.
That's the best part.
That you hate everybody? In
yes. You hate the whole thing.
That's a great standard. I like that.
That's the bar.
Who, according to the people who keep track of these things, was the heaviest NBA player to ever play the game?
Shaquille O'Neal?
It's a really good guess. So this is the way the response is given. O'Neal admitted to being upwards of 415 pounds at least one point in his career. But 6'9 Oliver Miller was approximately 380 for over 10 years. So
he played for Detroit for the longest time.
Perspective. Yeah, that's all perspective.
The big Aristotle does not win the award, as he used to call himself.
That's right. Collectively, what are Joanne's, May's, Murray Hotel, the giveaway, and Kilwins.
Chocolates.
Oh.
Not chocolate.
Fudge.
Fudge shops.
Oh.
Fudge shops. Okay. Yep, they're all on Mackinac
Island.
I
think you get credit for that, though.
Close enough.
It just depends on what crystal you're talking about. That's right. You know how it goes. Who wrote the adventure novel? I'll put the question mark there. Watership Down? I wouldn't
Richard
say
Richard Adams.
Adams, yeah.
Yeah, but is it an adventure novel?
If you're a rabbit.
I couldn't get into it. It was like the book everybody was reading in the mid-70s.
Yes.
And I started and I'm like, this is
bunch of bunnies
boring.
Going crazy.
It doesn't have the attraction of Charlotte's Web.
It's a metaphor. It's a large metaphor.
I love Dave. Well, it's an adventure novel if you're a rabbit.
I'm like, I mean, you know,
that's true.
If you're into barbed wire, I mean. You know.
The adventure of not getting snared by the rabbit.
Yes.
The farmer.
And he created this whole language for the rabbits.
That is true.
Too.
Which is wild, right?
Like Klingon.
Yep.
Well, he spent a lot of time with the rabbits, apparently.
Right.
He actually got in the dirt with them and burrowed down underneath the earth. And
really?
No, I'm totally making it up.
Oh, jeez.
Marty Lever would do that. He is a huge bunny fan.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Some people like...
I wonder if he's red water.
Pierre Le Pen.
Probably.
Unless I expect he has, yeah.
If you want to come over to my yard, you can have all the rabbits you want.
He has a new cat now who kind of fell in love with him and adopted him.
Can I borrow
Gravy.
That cat?
So, yeah, I don't know if he's going to have beginning any more bunnies soon.
If only Kendra were here. What is the longest highway in the Commonwealth of Kentucky?
Ooh. Is it a number?
It is a number. Wait, we can actually cheat on this one.
It goes left to right, probably.
It definitely does.
I-40?
Like, it's an even number.
No, 40 didn't go.
Does it go north to south or east to west?
East to west is even.
64.
No.
78.
Oh, no, the fives go up and down.
52. Yeah.
Why is this so funny to you when we start like randomly
guessing?
Well, I'm just thinking of like 70 is the 70 is the national road, right? So that goes kind of like that. So it has to be below 70.
Everybody's cheating.
There are no route numbers on this map.
Oh, really? Steven is fascinated.
That's like in Colorado.
60.
So for the record, it is I-60. You just said it. It's 475 miles long and goes through 22 counties in the Commonwealth.
That's an I-60?
I-60.
Part of the interstate.
Mm-hmm. What is the world's largest tree-borne fruit? Can be upwards of 10 to 55 pounds. That's a big
jackfruit.
Array.
Yeah, jackfruit or durian.
That's right. And 3 feet long. That's
I know that because my newly adopted cat, one of them, was named Jackfruit. And I'm like, okay, I know this is an actual like fruit, thing. But I had never seen them
the
or tasted
cat.
Them
they're
or
big.
Anything.
They're big.
So I actually looked up jackfruit on Google, which is the only reason that I happen to know that.
Nice.
Well, we need
nice.
To see cat photos at the end
Newton's
of
Newton's lucky he okay. was under an apple tree, I guess.
I guess. Jackfruit would really hurt.
He's a sweet little tabby. We're just calling him Jack. He's adorable.
What is the state bird of the state of Hawaii? Also not on the map.
Nene.
It is a nene.
Okay, so you voiced your disagreement with it, but what?
But wait till you watch him whip. What fast food chain once used the tagline, eat it like you mean it? For the record, this is not a suburban
Detroit buns and patties
kind of thing.
Jack in Box.
Yeah, In-N-Out.
Burgerville?
The one that just sort of got here over the
Whataburger?
Last...
Carl's.
In-N-Out. Carl's Jr. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah that's the Western
eat
Carl's
it
Jr.
Like you...
Eat it like you mean it. I mean, it's
what
like,
does that mean?
It's too commanding. I don't know.
As opposed to like I'm half, what?
Eat it like you don't care.
And you guys don't have Burgerville out here. I think that's
no.
a Western.
That's right. That's right.
Shane.
So we have just enough time to do one of our classic head scratchers here. I think this will be a ton of fun. It's our good friend. And just a few days ago, Rachel Ralston, who writes us questions all the time. Dear Prof, sadly, I don't have my usual SLU to send in yet. But recently, I was hit with a coworker's question that absolutely left me perplexed. Since I know several of the ATP profs are known aficionados of Star Trek.
No comment.
Give me some clarity here. If you could only have one in your life, would it be the replicator that can make any food or drink for you at a moment's notice? Ooh. Or would it be the transporter allowing you to travel unbelievable distances in just a couple of seconds?
Earl
what
Grey.
Would you choose?
Tea. Hot.
Well...
Earl Grey. I mean, come on. You know what
Which
I mean?
Which is exactly what Picard used to order.
I know. That's why I said that.
So, Dan, what would it be?
Well, if you had a transporter, you could transport anywhere and get what you want. Or if you had the replicator, you could replicate the parts to build your own transporter.
Yeah, but you'd have to trust the transporter. And
that is the perfect answer. I think we should just stop the episode.
Because remember, the replicator can do more than just food.
Martini, straight up, dry.
Regular olives. Chemicals, medicines.
But it was always going like out of order, and they were like making like crazy things in the replicator.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm just too suspicious of the transporter. I don't.
Well, about where you might get transported to?
You're the Dr. McCoy.
I think I would do the transporter.
Dr. McCoy, Ensign Rowe. She did not like the transporter either.
Or
scrambling your ass.
How do you know the replicator isn't going to give you like. Something you're not supposed to have.
Why couldn't we just like have tribbles or something?
Okay, now wait though. Remember,
thing.
You do have tribbles.
William T. Riker.
Yeah, he did
and
have
Will
his
Riker.
Twin. Yeah, that was
you
twin.
Know his transporter related yeah. twin.
All I'm gonna say is, and I can't think of any other way to answer the
Mr.
question.
Mr. Jeannie Francis.
Now that I've made multiple 8.5-hour drives to Houghton, Michigan, a transporter would be really nice.
Okay, now here's my take on it. Couldn't you transport yourself to get Earl Grey in England?
That's what Dan was saying.
Yeah, I like, because I can show up anywhere and get my food, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't have to call the carry-out.
That's like a dream for Dave.
I'm just not sure I trust the putting together again that has to go on in the transporter when you are transported you are. You have to be reconstructed from a cellular atomic level or something, right?
It's been like years since I brought this up, Beth, but there was this wonderful little video essay on YouTube, and it was about, I think I've figured out how the transporter on Star Trek works, and the bottom line is, you are reconstituting using matter at the destination. Therefore, you are cloning yourself for an instant and killing the old copy. Ooh. And goes through this definition philosophically of how creepy that is. And then goes, actually, it sounds a lot like sleep. Because you lose total consciousness. You wake up in another time, possibly in a different place.
I don't know.
And tries to
convince
you.
Imagine being teleported
like,
100 times.
I don't like that.
It is freaky.
What is that show that everybody is so fascinated in? About where people like.
What are we talking about?
Yeah.
Never mind.
People in
the Price
a show.
Is Right? Wheel of Fortune?
I sound like an old person.
No.
It's older. Like, what's. Never mind. I'll think of it.
There's an alternative world and they go through. Who's
Severance?
Severance.
Severance.
Yes.
Severance.
Yeah.
See, this is like Severance.
My students have been telling me about that.
Yeah. It is.
Supposedly a big deal. Yes. Supposedly a really big deal. Well, what's the premise of the show? Remind us.
You sort of. Let go of yourself and you forget where the work is and I don't even know how to describe it.
You can sort of literally become a different self in some kind of
and
that's
you
messed
kind
up.
Of
wait a minute
yeah.
So what you can show up as like like somebody else literally like
it's a problem of what makes someone the same person at different
yeah.
times that's
yeah.
the problem in personal
or
identity
it could be like the Prestige where you just yourself and then kill your other self in the
where there were Christian two versions of Christian Bale's character, right?
Yes, but they were twins.
Severance is well done because there are clearly a lot of philosophical issues that are being addressed with it,
Got it.
So
got it.
I don't know, it just reminded me of killing yourself and
why do you need to kill yourself?
Over.
What's wrong with it?
You don't really kill yourself, but you
just enter this different world.
Oh, okay.
Like
the
work world.
Yeah,
army
is.
Well, that's a Star Wars.
So are we going with the replicator? I think that.
I'm changing my mind, actually, now that I've thought about it. Also, the transporter is limited.
It is true. That's true.
So you can't just go anywhere.
It can only take you places that exist.
And they couldn't save Spock's mom. They couldn't get her transported in time.
I know.
That replicator will produce some weird, wacky food, too. So
it was Spock's fault, not the transporter.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was the other, that was the J.J. Abrams. That doesn't count.
The Kelvin universe.
Oh, I actually think those J.J. Abrams movies were actually good continuations of the series, the original series.
Professors, I'm so sorry, but I think the time has come for us to say goodbye, Leslie.
So long.
Danielle.
Adios.
Daniel.
Live long and prosper.
James.
Farewell.
Elizabeth.
Goodbye.
David.
Yes, Your Honor.
Steve.
Goodbye.
And Heather.
Yeah, it's just Heather.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Humanities, Arts, and Social Sciences at University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mile.